Hello and welcome to this latest MPFT podcast. Integration is a key theme running through the NHS long-term plan, and MPFT is spearheading a number of major programmes and projects to integrate services with the ambition of delivering better care for patients. To ensure this ambition is realised, it's crucial the voice of the patient is heard. So for this episode, we're going to explore integration in more detail through the eyes and experience of a patient representative who is at the forefront of this change. So my name is Mark Fletcher, and I'm delighted to welcome to today's chat.
I'm Mike Brooks. I'm a service user of the musculoskeletal services at the Heywood Hospital, where I've been diagnosed with rheumatoid and osteoarthritis and have been a service user for the past 15 years now.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike, and welcome to today's chat. Could I just ask you, just beyond what you've just said there, to tell us a little bit more about yourself, your experience of using health and care services, and why you wanted to be a physical health peer support worker for MPFT?
Well, because I've been involved with the Heywood Foundation as through the diagnosis, really, of my condition, I was very lucky to be involved with Kay Stevenson, for instance, who's the consultant physiotherapist at the Heywood and co-chair at the Heywood Foundation. And through that link and that liaison, I was brought in on occasion to just be the sort of patient voice, the patient representative in some very, very small pieces of work over the last 4 or 5 years. But an opportunity arose for me to develop that relationship when the peer support worker role in physical health services was launched back in the middle of 2019. And I started in the role in 2021. And to be offered the opportunity to be a sense checker or a critical friend coming from the patient perspective, the patient voice, was something that I really felt I could contribute to because of my lived experience, I suppose, over such a long time. And I suppose information giving, or not education so much, but I have a personal mantra of if we knew more, we would do more. That's the patient speaking now, if we knew more. So I was really looking forward to being able to maybe empower the patient group in general, and the carers obviously, to actually be a little bit more aware of what was going on, not only with their condition, but within the entire health and care world, as these transformations and developments in service were taking place.
Thanks, Mike. So we're talking on this podcast about health and care service integration and the projects and programmes of work that you're involved in that are delivering this transformation. So can I ask you, what does true integration mean to you?
Well, I think true integration for me, Mark, really has developed because of my involvement now more deeply with the various projects that you mentioned that I'm involved with. And for me, integration really should, I hope, lead to efficiencies. It would perhaps reduce waiting times as teams that maybe worked independently of each other start to work much more cohesively with each other. Evidently, there would be financial savings which could be reinvested in further development of services and transforming those services. And another aspect of it, which has come to mean a lot more to me over the last year in this little job, it also offers the workforce, the staff, career potential. Because we're working in maybe silos, I think is one of the expressions, words used, but working in silos, maybe not getting experience from other highly qualified professionals, doesn't contribute to career development. So a little something that's really struck with me over the last year is that integration, not just for the patient's benefit, which it will be significantly, it's all about really improving the patient experience, but I think it also contributes to improving the professional's experience as well, as they get more exposure to different opportunities.
And you mentioned about patient experience there. So how, just expanding a little bit on what you just said, how important do you feel health and care integration is then? So both for the services that deliver the care and also the organisations, as well as the patients receiving that care and support?
Well, the importance of it is manifold, I suppose, but within just maybe a short answer is that this particular integration project that's going on within the Midland Partnership Foundation Trust has an overarching principle of making sure that the right people are seen by the right people in the right place at the right time. There's been an awful lot, I think, of maybe duplication or variation in service provision over the period of time. And I think this particular style of integration work that I've been privileged to be involved with is ensuring that there's no natural wastage that could be improved upon or could be removed from the equations. As I say, the right person, right place, right time. And that potentially, I suppose, looking at the problems that have arisen recently, reduces waiting times, which reduces frustration, which reduces the aspects of an uncaring profession, when in fact, without this being in any way sort of sycophantic, it's not an uncaring profession. It is such a caring profession to have taken an aspect of this type, of this integration, to a whole new stage. It's been a massive project. It is a massive project that I'm working on. And it's been a colossal challenge in a number of arenas.
I mean, it's fair to say that no service integration or transformation is a small piece of work. And you mentioned about some of the projects that you've been working on. If you could sort of give some examples of that, and then also just to talk about what the challenges are from your perspective with regards to integration and transformation.
Yeah, if I can just pick on the big one, if I may call it the big one, it's the integration of three services into one newly developed service. It's linking the musculoskeletal interface service with community physiotherapy, with musculoskeletal podiatry, and bringing that all under, as it were, one roof. Now, there are three particular work streams, if I can use that expression as well, within the project, which is all about the single point of access. It's the workforce development and the IT and record system. Now, each one of those in its own right has got its own internal challenges. But when bolting all those three work streams together, brings a significant number of challenges right across the board. Very, very brief comment on that is that if one particular service is using one particular IT system and another service isn't, by integrating the services, you need to integrate the systems as well. So it's been a challenge to ensure that every, shall I say, I is dotted and every T is crossed, and the minute detail is really developed and true to a testament really to everybody that's been working on this project. The fine detail has probably been the biggest challenge. I've been working as well on another integration project, which is the Integrated Care Hubs project, which is hopefully going to be future-proofing services for a number of decades now, and looking at getting, again, not only the right people seen at the right time in the right place, but to ensure that if I can use my expression of one front door, that service users will go to a location and be seen by any number of clinicians that they need to be seen by. And that's reinforced with yet another project, which is the Combined Clinic Initiative, again, led by Kay Stevenson. It's looking at getting patients in through the door to see, in this particular pilot study, an advanced physiotherapy practitioner with an activity coordinator and a well-being practitioner. So they can go, shall we say, down the corridor and see three different clinical specialists all under one roof in one appointment. So there's the efficiency angle. There's the better experience for the patient angle. There's the savings in time and hopefully finances as well. So, you know, these are the challenges that are being faced. And I have to say, being in this privileged position of a patient representative, these are the challenges being faced, and every single one of them is being met.
And just expanding a little bit on that, I was just interested to hear what you're saying there. I'd be interested to get your views on some of the surprises from your perspective that you've experienced, both potentially positive and negative, again, I'm sure when you came into this role, you had certain perceptions of what some of this work would be like. And as time's gone by, those perceptions may have either been confirmed or been disqualified. So I'll be interested to sort of get some thoughts from yourself, if I may, about some of the sort of surprises that have come out to you, the things that they've jumped out at you during your time here.
I think the biggest surprise for me is how complicated and complex the whole national health system is. And I'm only touching it from the musculoskeletal side, which is where I'm a service user. But just looking at that, the surprise to me, and I think this is something that the service user across every aspect of the healthcare system would benefit from understanding, I suppose, is that it is such a massive, complex operation that one minor hiccup can have a significant knock-on effect here, there, and everywhere. And I would say it's a surprise. It's a surprise because of the magnitude of the service, the scale of the service. But another aspect, a real positive aspect, not a surprise in the final, it's my final analysis, but just taking the IT and records element of the big integration project, these are my words now, but it's paraphrasing. The guys and girls that have been supporting aspects of the IT and records system have basically used expressions, tell us what you want and we will build it. So there's always been that commitment, that dedication to make sure that it's as right as it can be first time. I think there's something called GIRFT, isn't there? G-I-R-F-T, get it right first time. And everybody that's working on this project is adopting that attitude, is let's get it right and let's make sure that the patient experience is as good as it possibly can be. So I think the biggest surprise for me is the magnitude of the service that I'm privileged to be a customer of, I suppose.
And how important has the patient and service user voice been then and throughout all this? And what would you say to anyone who feels that this doesn't affect them?
I'll answer the last bit first, if I may, Mark. It affects everybody, absolutely everybody. And I've had the opportunity to be a voice box, I suppose, for the patient fraternity. There's been a necessity, I suppose, for a cultural shift to take place because the patients haven't been involved as deeply as they are, or potentially can be as deeply as they are at the moment. And it's been, I think I said before, you know, a sense checker, a critical friend. I've been given the opportunity to voice my opinion on behalf of the service user if there's something that I've not understood or felt not could be done better, but could be done differently. I've been given every opportunity to ask the question and not just accept any answer. I've been given a huge amount of opportunity and responsibility to query what's been going on and to be brought into conversations. I've actually been literally asked to join a conversation to get the patient perspective. Anybody that's given an opportunity like the one that I've had over the last 12 months, I would say grab it with both hands because it is so empowering and so fulfilling that I'm surprised, and this is another answer to your surprise, I'm surprised in a way that the health service in general has not adopted the patient front and centre, patients at the heart of everything we do, with a more robust approach than they have done. MPFT, without a doubt, is I suppose, in the vanguard of this issue. Yeah, it affects everybody. I wouldn't like to think that everybody thinks it's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with the service user, and the service user is being hugely encouraged to join in.
And it sounds to me, based on what you've said throughout this conversation, that you're really enjoying the task and getting your teeth stuck into it. And as we know, it's a long-term project. Yes, I'm getting that real sense from you. Would that be fair to say?
That would be very fair to say, Mark. Yes, this last 12 months has been a phenomenal opportunity. And I'd like to think that the impact that I've had on the job has been as big as the impact that the job has had on me. I mean, my wife and I actually maintain a fairly large allotment, so I'm getting my physical well-being well under control, as it were, by my gardening work. But my well-being, my mental well-being, is certainly in a very different place, a very positive place, than maybe it would be if I'd have just been sitting watching Countdown or doing a crossword. It's been a massive opportunity, and I'm glad I was given it.
Thank you very much for that, Mike. I'm sure I speak on behalf of MPFT when I say we're really delighted to have you as part of the Trust, and your contribution is absolutely helping to pioneer the way forward, I think, from my experience as well, having dealt to spoken with you many times. So that's it for this MPFT podcast. Can I thank my guest, Mike Brooks, for joining me today, and really appreciate your time, Mike. And also appreciate the time for you, the listener. And thank you very much. And bye-bye.
Thank you.